If any of you have ever read through the Old Testament, if you ever will read through the Old Testament, I think we're all gonna come to the same place at the end of reading through the Old Testament, and we're gonna say, more rules aren't going to fix the situation. You're gonna say, hey, God better explaining himself is not going to fix the situation. Even discipline is not gonna fix the situation, because when God disciplined the people and punished them, they straightened up for a moment, but they eventually went back to their same old ways. If God is ever going to have a people for himself, a people who will bring him glory and live in a right relationship with God, with one another, and with all creation, by the time you get to the end of the Old Testament, you say, God, you gotta do something. Something radical needs to happen. And when you get near the end of the Old Testament, that's what the prophets begin to tell us, that God indeed one day is going to do something. In fact, Ezekiel says in Ezekiel chapter 36, says, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart, your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people and I will be your God. Ezekiel says there's coming a day when God is gonna do something that is gonna radically transform us from the inside out. We're gonna get new hearts. We're gonna be born again so that these hard hearts that are in rebellion against God are actually turned towards God, and we begin to actually love him, and we're filled with his spirit so that we obey him as he always called his people to do. Now, Ezekiel said that was gonna happen. Now, for the last few weeks, we've been saying the book of James. And in the first chapter of the book of James, he says something really important for us to grab a hold of to understand everything that's happening here in James. He says in chapter 1, verse 18, it says, he, and the he here is God, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth. Now, the word of truth is the good news about Jesus Christ. That God has come and that he invites us to live in relationship with him, to surrender our lives to him, be forgiven of our sins by what he did on the cross. He chose to give us birth through this word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. James is saying that thing that Ezekiel said was gonna happen, James said it happened in Jesus. And James says the location of the temple has now changed. The place that God is making holy, the place that God is sanctifying, the place that God is dwelling, the place where God is meeting with people and transforming the world is now in those who have become surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and are now living in him. And he says, we've been given a new birth. We've been changed from the inside out. We've been given this new nature and new hearts that are now turned towards God. And he says that we're called to be the first fruits. We are a preview of what God is bringing when his kingdom is coming in all its fullness. We are the kind of people that are gonna inherit the eternal kingdom of God. And one day it's gonna come in all its fullness, but until that day when it's come in all its fullness, those who are surrendered and following Jesus Christ are the first fruits, the visible evidence of what is coming. And James says, that's who you guys are. That's who you are. And understanding that is the key to everything James is talking about here in his letter. He believes the people that he is writing to are those people who have been surrendered to Jesus. They are new creations. They are forgiven. They are cleansed. They are filled with his Holy Spirit. And internally, their hearts that once lived in simple rebellion against God are now turned toward him. All right, so that's what he believes. So now, understanding that, let's go to where we're gonna begin today in James. And we're in James chapter 3. Beginning in verse 1. And he says, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. In James's day, being a teacher was a high honor, and teachers were held in high esteem. And James says to those who teach, hey guys, listen, be careful about you wanting this honor and being a teacher, because those of you who speak more words are gonna be held more responsible for all the words that you are speaking. Be careful about that, and we'll understand why that is as we keep walking through this. He says in verse 2, "We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check." Now, this verse, I think, is often taken to mean exactly the opposite of what it actually means, because sometimes what we take it to mean is everybody stumbles, and is anybody perfect? And we go, well, nobody's perfect. And so since everybody stumbles and nobody's perfect, nobody can keep their mouth or their body in check. I want to tell you, that's not what James is saying. And the key to understanding what James is saying is this word that's used right there in verse 2, where he says, anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect. The word perfect in James does not mean sinless perfection. The word perfect in James means mature. It means you are able to do that thing which God has called you to do. You are able now to be a person who lives in a right relationship with God, who brings God glory, who makes his kingdom visible and declares his grace to all the world. Perfection means mature. It doesn't mean that you don't make mistakes. It doesn't mean that you don't grow. It doesn't mean that there's not further growth. It just simply means you are now at the place where you can do the thing that God has given you new birth to do. Make sense? Now, he says, we all stumble in many ways. Once again, doesn't mean sinless perfection. We have a new nature. We have a new capacity. We have new hearts. But we're growing into that new capacity and new heart. My grandson, Cohen, 8 months old now, far advanced. He's now crawling around. And he's doing really great crawling around, except he has not yet learned to look around. So he just bumps into walls, kind of like those old Roombas that didn't know the room. He just bumps into things and cries and sits down, turns around and goes. He's not yet learned to kind of, hey, watch where you're going, because you're running. So he has capacity. There's nothing wrong with him, but he is growing into the capacity that he now has. And so Paul says, we all stumble in many ways. But we have this new nature and we are growing. And when you can control your mouth, then you're mature. That the control of the mouth is a sign of maturity, that you can now actually begin to do the thing that God has always called you to do. You can be the people that God has called you to be. And that is the very, we're not supposed to wait until we die to be about the task that God has given to us. We are to be the people who represent God to the world and who bring him glory and who demonstrate the kind of humans that he's called us to be. And Paul is saying, when you control the mouth, hey, listen, you are now at a place where you can do the task that God has called you to do. He goes on, he says in verse 3, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All right. Paul gives us three illustrations. And the first illustration he gives us is of a bit in a horse's mouth, that little piece you put. And that one little piece in the horse's mouth is steering this strong, powerful animal, steered by this one little thing. He talks about the rudder on a ship, this one little piece of wood. Man, it's directing and steering this huge ship is directed by this one little piece of wood. And he says, and a small spark. He says, this little bitty thing, man, sets a whole forest on fire. And we've seen that recently. We watched it in California. We've seen it in Colorado. We've seen these wildfires that have devastated land and people and property. And it starts with just this little bitty thing. And then it spreads to all this stuff. And Paul is saying, I mean, James is saying right here, don't sweat the small stuff, right? Don't sweat the small stuff. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, hey, no, sweat this. This is a little thing, but this is huge. And you're saying, James, we got it. James, we got it. And he just keeps repeating himself. Okay, I get it. I get the point. And he gives you one illustration and another illustration and another illustration. Okay, James, we got the point. We understand. He says, no, you don't. This is important. And James believed that he had to repeat himself because he saw that this was something for people, that people, was really hard for them to hear. What happens, what comes out of your mouth is important. And in case you missed it, and in case that wasn't enough, he says the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. That's the best hellfire and damnation preaching I got right there. All right. But Do you wonder what James thinks? I mean, he's trying to be clear here. He wants you to hear this. James does not want you to minimize the impact that your words have, that our words partner with hell themselves. And if James was speaking to us today, he wouldn't simply be talking about our words, would he? He'd be talking about our text, our social media, what our fingers do, not just our tongue, but what our fingers do today. He says, I don't want you to minimize this. I don't want you to miss it. He doesn't want us to wonder whether it's a big deal or not. He wants us to see it and understand it and feel it. He wants to say it over and over again. And so then he says in verse 7, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poisons. All right. Anybody wonder what James means? That's why we're reading James. Because James is so clear. You don't have to wonder about this. You get it. And here he is. So now, does James mean it's hopeless? You can tame elephants, you can tame lions, but no human being can tame the tongue. So let's just all give up. No, it is true that no human being can tame the tongue. But there is one who can transform us and give us a new heart and a new nature and a new life. And so listen to what he says beginning in verse 9. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. All right. Let's do a science experiment over here. Okay. I'm about to blow y'all's mind because I have wrapped these jugs so that we cannot see what's inside. But I'm going to reveal to you, without unwrapping it or taking the lid off, I shall reveal to you what's inside. All right, get this. Oh. Boom. Amazing, isn't it? Jeff, that took a lot of thought and work, didn't it? All right, here's the deal. James is saying, hey, things reveal themselves. Fig trees bear figs. The nature of something gets expressed. A spring is going to reveal whether it's salt or fresh water. You got to look, it's going to do one or the other. So what James is saying is every time you open up your mouth, every time you open up your mouth, your innards are spilling out. Every time. What comes out of your mouth is a revelation of what's inside of you, is what James wants us to hear right here. Every time. He's saying, this is what's going on right here. It's revealing something that's inside. So when things come out of our mouth, when things come out of our mouth that are vulgar, when things come out of our mouth that tear people down, when things come out of our mouth that are boastful, when things come out. In fact, I started to list all the things that shouldn't come out of our mouth. And then it was like a lot of stuff and a lot of work. So I just thought, let's just Ephesians 4:29 it right here. And this is what Ephesians says. Right here. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs that may benefit those who listen. You know, we could go around and say, don't do this, don't do that. Or we could just say, don't let anything come out of your mouth that is unwholesome, and let everything come out of your mouth be for the building up of others. Let it bring life. Let it bring life. And when stuff is, for those of us who James believes that we're new creations, we've been made new by Jesus. We have new hearts and new lives, and we're now the temples where God's Spirit dwells, and out of us is meant to flow life and blessing and beauty and truth. And when stuff comes out of our mouth that is not in line with this, it is something foreign to our nature. Hey, wait, where did that come from? Because that's not who I am. Imagine that you're drinking a glass of sweet tea and you take a gulp and there's something moving around in your mouth that's kind of squishy and crunchy at the same time. It's fluttering in there. What would you do? Yeah, there's a fly in your sweet tea. Flies don't belong in your sweet tea, do they? Yeah, I mean, you can get that. I mean, you would go, hey, that doesn't belong there. So when something comes out of our mouths, that is not in line with the fact that we're new creations in Christ, called to bring him glory, be an expression of his goodness and beauty and truth. When stuff comes out of our mouths, not in line with this, then we simply say, God, that's not of you. Where's that coming from? How do I surrender that to him? Now, James is not saying anything new. In fact, where did James get this idea that what comes out of our mouth reveals what's going on in our hearts? He's the brother of Jesus. And Jesus said much the same thing. Matthew chapter 15, listen to what Jesus says. Beginning in verse 10. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them. Then the disciples came to him and asked, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this? He replied, every plant that my heavenly Father has planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them, they are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. Peter said, explain the parable to us. Are you still so dull? Jesus asked them. Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defiles a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. What's Jesus saying? Man, what the mouth does is it reveals the heart. What our fingers do when we type, they reveal the heart. Our innards are spilling out. This is one of the reasons that sometimes if you drink too much, which wouldn't happen to y'all, but some people out there, if you drink too much or you get angry or you get frustrated, or you get surprised, stuff pops out of your mouth. Right? You've seen that happen with people, right? Stuff pops out of your mouth. And you know the reason it pops out of your mouth in that moment is because you were really good at keeping it hid. And then something happens. And out comes this stuff. It wasn't the alcohol that put it in there. It wasn't that person that made you mad that put it in there. It was in this moment, something popped out and was revealed that was hidden inside the heart. And Jesus says, this is revealing for us. And here's the good news. We recognize that we all stumble in many ways. So none of us are there yet. I've been preaching this. I mean, this was in week one. I've caught myself. Things come out of my mouth that were not right several times. When they come out for us, what do? We say, Jesus, this is not of you. What are you trying to show me in my heart? And we say, thank you, Jesus, for revealing something in me that you want to deal with. And because you're revealing an area of my heart that needs some healing, that I need you to touch. And so we just ask him in those moments, Jesus, show me. What are you trying to show me? So, because what he wants to do is bring healing to us and to take that foreign thing, whatever it is, from where this is coming. He wants to take that foreign thing and get it out of us so that we can continue to grow into maturity, into the people that God has called us to be. The revelation, ultimately, of what's in our hearts is grace. It's grace. It's you saying, here, look, he's given us something that we can see. And once we can see it, we can offer it up to him and say, God, help me. I agree with you. This is not of you. God, help me. Now, this can make it seem as if words are really bad and the tongue is really bad and negative and there's nothing good about it at all. And so that we could all just go, you know, I'm just not gonna say anything, right? But that also is not who God has called us to be. If there were a parent who was yelling at their child, telling them they were dumb all the time, I would suggest they stop doing that. But I would not suggest they just go silent either. And the Bible says some amazing stuff about what happens with our tongue. Listen, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. Man, life is in you. And the world's in need of this, and it's in you, and you have this opportunity to bring life to the people around you. A gentle tongue is a tree of life. Man, the tree of life is where people came, and they received life and abundance and truth and goodness. Man, people are coming, and in these encounters with us, we have the opportunity to speak truth and life. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Gracious words don't just make us feel good. They change our body. They affect the whole of us when they're spoken. And what James wants us to do is not to get silent, but to get healed, to take these moments of revelation so that God deals with whatever's inside of us so that we can grow in maturity so that our words can now be a blessing and we can begin to pour out life on the people who are around us. Hey, you have this tremendous capacity because you're the temple where God's Spirit is dwelling. The Holy Spirit is alive inside of you. And the temple was the place where people went to meet with God. The temple is the place where heaven and earth are meeting, where God is making himself known. And through you and through your words, man, you have this possibility of life. So here's what I want to encourage you to do this week. It's pretty simple. Two things. One is pay attention. Pay attention. If we get anything from James, it would be pay attention. Pay attention to what comes out of our mouths. And when something comes out of our mouth that is foreign to our nature, say, Lord, thank you for revealing something to me that I need to bring to you. And the way that we get healed is we don't simply try harder. The way that we get healed in the body of Christ is we confess, God, I said something, you show me that this is not of you. I confess that. Lord, I'm gonna turn. I want my mouth to be used for you. And we ask God to help us. And Lord, heal. Show me what's going on in me that you want to heal. So let's pay attention because it's grace. It's grace when God reveals these things to us. Let's not miss this opportunity to get a picture of what's going on inside of us, which often we don't even know is there. And so God is showing us something that's there that he wants to heal so that we can grow in the life God gives to us. Here's the second thing. 7 days this week, starting today, use your words to bring some life. Build somebody up. 7 days. Once a day, use your words to build somebody up. There are about 600 people who come to worship at Grace on Sunday. Can you imagine what would happen if 600 people, seven times, the math, 4,200 blessing in life being poured out. I think that's significant. What an opportunity we have. In a world of chaos and dysfunction and death and disorder, to speak life into some people. And if you would just pray, Lord, show me somebody, near, far, whatever it is, show me somebody to speak life into. Man, we're called to be a blessing. We're called to function, to bring life and blessing and beauty to the world. Let's be about the task that God has enabled us to carry out. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for moments of grace when you reveal things inside of us that you're dealing with. And Lord, you tell us that we all stumble in many ways, and that's true. Lord, you're not looking for in this moment. It's not that we're perfect and we never mess up, but you do want us to mature and to grow. And so help us to capture these moments of grace when things come out of our mouths. Help us to capture that and to lift that up to you and say, Lord, deal with whatever's going on in our hearts, whether that's a desire to impress others, whether it's a hurt, a pain, a childhood trauma, whatever it is, Lord, lift that up to you and give us the faith to take whatever next step we might need to take, to be obedient, to receive whatever kind of healing you want to bring to us. Lord, help us to take this seriously. We hear this message and it's not new to most of us. And yet we then go back out into the world and our mouths just open up and stuff comes out. Help us to take this seriously. It matters. And so Lord, help us to lean in to the opportunity that we have this week to bless somebody. Lord, I thank you for the life that's going to be poured out this week as through words and messages and phone calls and text and all these different ways, your life's going to be being poured out. There's going to be healing for the soul and for the body as people receive some words that they desperately need to hear. Lord, I want to pray for parents today. Lord, there are few things more powerful than a parent putting their hand on a child and just blessing them. Lord, and just pray that some blessings would be poured out this week. Father, you're good. We thank you that we get to be the first fruits. And so, Lord, continue to work in us so that we bring you glory, so that your kingdom is made visible, so that your grace is declared to all the world. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.